All right, everyone, welcome to the newest episode of The Jay Davis Show. I'm super excited for our guest today. Today we have Ann Carlson. She's the founder and CEO of Jiminy's. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ann.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, why don't you start off just kind of giving people a background? How did you become an entrepreneur? What's your career been like? And excited to hear.
Well, first off, I'll say I am the founder and CEO of Jiminy's, and we make sustainable dog food and treats. Sustainable. We use insect protein instead of your traditional cow or chicken. But I had quite a journey getting here. I started my career in consulting, went into industry. I actually did start a company before this. I was in the alcohol beverage industry, and I started a company and ended up selling that to IRI. And I was working at one of the big pet food companies. We got acquired. And as I was trying to decide what I wanted to do next, I was having a conversation with my daughter. And she told me that she didn't want to have kids. And she was worried about what the world was going to be like by the time they grew up. She was talking about climate change. And I realized that no matter what I did going forward, I had to be fighting climate change. So I kind of changed direction at that point, and my pivot was to sustainability and pet, and here we are.
I love it. How old's your daughter?
She's 28 now.
Awesome. Other kids?
Nope, just the one. My only
so
chance.
Great. So great. I have four daughters, so I'm a big, I'm all in on the daughter train, so.
Excellent. I love it.
So fun.
Any pets?
We don't have any pets. Our kids love animals.
Yeah.
We both had dogs as kids, and I'm just not a dog person, it turns out. And I'm very allergic to cats. So kind of like, we've had fish, but I don't count fish as pets. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a horrible person. I think it's so awesome. So how did you, I love hearing from entrepreneurs because I think we get a dive into industries, and one of the kind of overarching themes of almost every entrepreneur I've ever met is a willingness to jump into something that they're like, hey, I kind of know this space, but I kind of don't. I'm guessing you didn't have a background in insect protein or know much about it. Like, how did that come about? Was it an idea that like, aha, Newton moment? Like, oh my gosh, I got to do this? Or was it over time?
Well, I knew that I wanted to do something around climate change. And actually, I was considering doing something like a food for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I was thinking about it, I was looking at a lot of studies. And one of them was a UCLA study that said 30% of the environmental impact of meat consumption in the U.S. is due to our dogs and cats. And
oh,
I was
wow.
like, well, that's a great place to start because you can have so much more impact with a dog or a cat because they basically eat the same thing every day. So, you know, if I did something for you, my best case scenario, maybe I could get something that you'd eat every day for breakfast, maybe.
Yeah,
but probably,
that's a great point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
So you get a lot more of your eating occasions. And then as I was trying to think about, what could we do that would truly be sustainable, I was researching all different types of proteins. I looked at a lot of the plant proteins, but they kind of fell short on the protein. They didn't have all of the amino acids that the dog needed. And then I saw the study from the UN that said insects could be the answer to world hunger. And, you know, based on that and what I read, I was like, this looks like it could work. So I ordered some dry roasted crickets online. I tried feeding them to my dogs. And my dogs, they started drooling immediately. They were just like all over me wanting more. And I was like, oh, I can work with this.
You're like, if you're acting like it's a treat when it's actually food, that's a pretty great sign.
That's an excellent sign, right?
Yeah.
And now, you know, understanding that the dogs liked it and it looked good on paper, there was still a ton of work that we had to do. So diving into this one meant I had to invest in the science. And we had to do a heck of a lot of work working with Iowa State, working with Animal Biome, all of these folks who really understand animal nutrition in order to prove out that not only did the dogs like it, but it was actually
good for them.
High quality protein for them. It was highly digestible.
That's amazing. I mean, I think that sometimes, like I said, I mean, we as entrepreneurs are willing to dive into something. We're just like, yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. And then you get into it and it's like, oh, this is really hard. Like, I got to figure out, am I going to kill these dogs and cats? Like,
oh,
is
yeah.
this good for them?
Yeah.
How have you balanced that and not become discouraged as you, every time I'm sure you go around one corner, you're like, ah, crap, there's 10 more.
Yeah. And everything takes way longer than you think it's going to take, which is tough as well. Well, I think what's kept me going is I had purpose. And I knew that what I was doing was going to make a difference. And I was convinced it was the right answer. So even when we had obstacles, I just kept going and I'd push ahead and I'd find partners who would help us out. They'd either contribute something or, yeah, you know, they'd pay for part of it. You know, just finding others who believed in it as well was a huge part of the process.
It's always great when you have those people who, in your low moments, because entrepreneurship is like the roller coaster, everyone knows. But right. You have those days where like, man, we're on fire. Like, we're going to take over the world. And then you have days where you're like, can I get through today? You know, and having those mentors
so
is really
true.
Helpful.
So yeah. True. Yeah.
And sometimes they're back-to-back days.
So you can have them in the same day, right?
Yeah.
In the
oh,
same
yeah.
hour.
Yeah. You're yeah. like, today's going great. Today's going horrible. it's so true. That's so awesome. What have you learned as you've gone past that? I mean, I'm sure you guys are probably now past the point of just, can this product work?
Oh, yeah.
Are you vertically integrating into like farms and how yeah. have you managed that? Because it's probably a new process as well.
Well, we have fantastic relationships with our supplier partners. And we've got several suppliers for each insect type that we use now. For me, though, it was more about creating a product line that was a complete product line. So if a consumer came into insect protein, I wanted to make sure that they had products that they could use for all the different parts of the day. So we've got not only the food, but we've got different types of treats, some for training, some for just simple reward. And now we just launched dental chews. So we've got that brushing your teeth moment as well.
That's amazing. So that's a great topic that I would love to dive into, because I think this is, and maybe it's just me, I don't know. As I built PillCube, it was really hard sometimes because you'd kind of have these questions of, what else should we do? Should we do that? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Are we getting distracted? Or is this part of the vision? Like, how have you managed that? Because that's a question I get from a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when you have a great initial idea. You're like, okay, yeah. Dog food. It's every day. They're eating it three meals a day, maybe, or two meals a day.
Okay.
How have you balanced that? And how have you kind of figured out a plan for product development that doesn't drive everyone crazy on your team?
Yeah. And this is probably the one area that I really have to watch myself, because I'm always excited about doing, okay, now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. And you have to, like, sometimes really hold yourself back, or I have to have my COO pull me back and say, let's make sure this one works before we go to the next one.
Yeah.
Because you really do need to take enough time to make sure that it grabs hold. And the nice thing is, though, that once we've got a consumer base, once, you know, and we have that now, you can trial it with your existing consumers. And you can really figure out whether or not you've got something that's meaningful or not as you're building out that product roadmap. I think it's really important to do that kind of road testing with the different types of dogs, the different types of consumers.
Yeah, running things through a process. We were just talking about this week that traditionally at PillCube we would kind of just like, oh, this is a person we need. I know someone like that. And we just hire that person. Or yeah. It would just kind of be like a very organic process. And over time, we've started to say, we really got to always run the process. It often still will turn out to be someone we know or someone who came in from a referral. But we need to run through that process. And I think that's so true on product. And that's the biggest thing I notice with a lot of really young companies is they're having an idea. And like 2 weeks later, selling another website, like selling a prototype, and that's not bad. Like, it's not bad to move quickly.
Yeah, it depends on what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in fashion, it might make sense, but you know, with dog food or treats, you've got to run it through a nutritionist. You've got to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that goes into making it right.
How do you know? Like, Pixar is very famous for their approach of having these kind of like, I don't know if you would call them waypoints or kind of like checks and balances of like, okay, if we're not all obsessed with this script, we shouldn't start animation. Do you have those things? What are the things that kind of triggers you look for? I even love your example with your own dog. It's like, okay, my own dogs were obsessed with this. So that's like one of mine is like, if people give it back and they don't care, kind of like, okay, well, that's kind of a, if I myself don't use it, that's kind of a good sign of what we've developed. So any for you that you would share?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with the dogs because they have to love it, right? Because it's a little unusual, right? You want the owner to see that the dog loves it. So I do start with my dogs. We start with sort of all the dogs that are part of the Jiminy's family.
Yeah.
So our friends' dogs, all of our employees' dogs, all that kind of thing. But then we do professional palatability testing. So, and we do that as we're developing. So we'll start with a formulation and then we'll continue to tweak it as we go through testing. And we hold ourselves to a really high standard. For dogs, a palatability test, you pass if you hit an 80%. We hold ourselves to 95% or higher. And I think that's really important and it has really helped us.
What is a palatability test? Is that 100 dogs and they...
Not quite 100. It's closer to 50. But it is, they give them a certain amount of whatever it is, if it's a food or if it's a treat, and then a time period. And they monitor how they eat it, how fast they eat it, whether they eat it all. After that time period's over with, they take it away and they weigh how much. And then depending on what it is, we're also doing health tests on the dogs as we go through the process as well. So are they, you know, how are they doing from a weight perspective? How's their blood work? What's their stool look like?
It's always crazy. You always get into an industry and you learn all these things. And pillows, there's tests that would blow people's minds. Everything you have to test to be able to sell, you know, at retailers, like... You have to test flammability and like durability and response times and all these things. And people just never know until you get into an industry and you learn all these new things.
And how about it? You don't wake up when you turn in your sleep.
Yeah.
that would be a big one from a consumer perspective.
There's all kinds of things. I mean, it's funny even there where a lot of people think, oh, I'm a side sleeper. And it's like, usually that's what position do you start in?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like you stay, but even that, like we have people who literally sleep on one side the entire night because often they have like a CPAP or some other condition. And there's even training devices you can buy so that you stop rolling. Like if you have a CPAP, they have a device that you put on your spine so that if you lay on it, it hurts and you go back to your side. So it's crazy. Yeah. It's like a shock collar for pregnant women so they don't lay on their back. So... Oh, it's so fascinating. What else have you learned? Like, is there a time where you're like, okay, everything tests out, but like, what about like market, like total market size? Like, are there other things that you're kind of looking for, or even just like intuitive things that you look for of like, okay, we should do this?
Well, you know, there's so much there. I mean, we actually even talk to our consumers before we start something new. And sometimes we'll say, well, we're either going to do this or this. And we will take our you know, VIP customers and we'll talk to them and send them a survey and say, hey, what do you guys want to see? Do you like this or do you like this? And then we ask them to give us write-in responses because the write-in responses are awesome. Sometimes they take you into places you never would have thought to go before.
You're like, I would have never guessed that. No, it's so true. You see, we just did a survey for a new product we're working on. And we kind of said like, hey, here are three designs, like industrial designs of this product. Which one do you like? And everyone liked one. I was like, that's great. We're still not doing it. Because what it told me was that's where people feel comfortable and safe. but that's not necessarily what our goal is. Our goal is to push the boundaries and do some other things with industrial design. But it was interesting seeing, like, you know, data doesn't necessarily mean you're not asking the customers to tell you what to do. You're just trying to know what they're comfortable with or what they like. So,
or even where's their starting point sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great, yeah, it's a great way of putting it.
For us, actually, it's pretty interesting when you think about asking consumers about whether or not they would want an insect-based product for their dogs. You know, where would you even start with that?
Most people probably say no. I'm sure.
Yeah, they probably would have. And they would never have brought it up if you gave an open-ended question, because who's ever heard of it before?
Yeah.
So
sometimes they have no context.
Make a leap of faith. You know, you have to know, you know, based on what you know, you have to say, I know this is right, we're going to do it. And you go forward.
Yeah. So awesome. What, how many dogs do you have?
I have two.
What kind of dogs are they?
I've got an 8-year-old lab mix. He's a rescue. And I have a 4-year-old Great Dane that is basically the most athletic dog you're ever going to meet in your life. He's like the LeBron James of dogs.
Great Danes are huge. I mean, every time I'm around one, I'm like, they're so big.
Yeah, he's the runt of the litter and he weighs 1.5.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
He's a person.
That's incredible. What's like the thing that totally failed with them? What's like the product that was like, oh, they hate it? Or has there been one?
No, there really hasn't been one. There was when we were first starting to work on the wet food. Just to set the stage, my Great Dane is the picky one. My lab mix will eat anything. He's always all in. But the Great Dane actually is a really good tester because he is picky. And when we were trying to put together our wet food, there were the early stage products where he was just like, eh. And so I was like, okay, we got to get to a point where he's not, eh. He's like,
yeah,
I want that.
It's hard because it's easy. We had a pillow very similar. We were working on a new pillow for side and back sleepers. And it was like, oh, this is really great. It's not amazing. Like it's like 80% of the way there. And you're like, dang it, we got to go redo all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you got to get all the way there. It's so hard. One of the other things, actually, that's been interesting for us is packaging. I so want to put our product into a packaging that is either from recycled material or recyclable. And when I did our first training treat, I actually tried a recyclable package. And it was terrible. It was awful. When it came, I was so excited about it too. And I was talking it up left, right, and center. It was blurry, so you couldn't read the words. The colors weren't right. And then you'd hold it and it would just sag. It wouldn't hold the shape. And I was like, oh my God. And I just was kept trying to talk myself into, it's okay. We can work with this. Yeah. And finally, actually, my husband was talking with me, and he's like, Ann, it's not good.
Yeah.
You're right. It's like, not good.
It.
We have to fall back.
So that's hard.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Because in your mind as the owner or the CEO, you're like, do you know how much money we spent like getting to here?
Oh, yeah.
It was a whole hard to make those decisions. Yeah.
Production run, and we were a pretty young company at the time.
Yeah.
That was hard.
It's crazy. So,
but, you know, it was the right decision. Sometimes the right decision is expensive
the hardest
and
ones
hard.
To make. Yeah. What would you say to a young entrepreneur who comes to you and is asking for advice? They're starting a company. It's already going, but they're going through a lot of those challenges. Maybe those bad days are a little more frequent at that point. What kind of words of wisdom would you give them?
Well, make sure you believe in what you're doing. I think that's key. Because if you don't, or if you're in it just for the money, you know, you're not going to want to stick with it. But I think, you know, the basics are everything's going to take longer than you think it will. Be flexible because things change all the time. And you've got to be able to work within the environment that you're in. Sometimes it's something that you're doing internally, but like right now, in the last 2 years, the financing climate shifted and we were all like shooting for the moon, right? Everyone's like, you know,
grow
revenue at any cost. And then all of a sudden, like that, it was, what's your unit economics? When do you hit break even?
What's your profitability? What's your EBITDA?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You gotta move quick.
Different, right? You've got a great product. You've got a great plan. But the plan that you had fit the old world. Now there's a new world and you have to rethink it.
It's amazing how those things happen. And what's so funny, all those things you said, and this is something I say all the time, the more experience I have, I just am like, it's all the cliche stuff, but it's so true. It's all of those things. Especially don't do it for the money. Every time I talk to someone, I'm like, if you want to be rich, if that's your goal, being an entrepreneur is like the worst way to do it. Like, go be an investment banker. Go work at like Bain Consulting and have to work hard, or, you know, there's jobs, but that's actually one of my little secret tricks. Anytime someone wants to talk about investment, if they talk about how this is a $1 billion idea, I'm like, I'm out. Like, you just keep saying this is a $1 billion idea. It's always the people just like you where you're like, oh, I had this mission and I was excited about solving a problem that I noticed in the world. And I had a passion for it. I was driven towards it. And you weren't like Googling, what's the, you know, total addressable market of the pet industry? You're like, yeah, that's not my motivation. So.
Yeah. It's very true. And also, you know, you think you're going to get out quick when you start a company, never going to get out quick.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you know, you're like, oh, in 3 years, we'll sell this company.
Yeah. Very much the exception, not the rule.
Very much the exception. Very much. And then if you do sell it that quickly, you're not going to get what you thought you were going to get for it.
Yeah. It really is. It's something that I think is hard. It's hard for people to realize. Like, it really is like a 5 to 10 year journey on the short side. And you see all these companies that all of a sudden blow up and you're like, it's another cliche. It's the overnight success that took 20 years. But
good for them. I mean, I'm always cheering for them, but that's not the norm, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it seems like an overnight success, but it really did take 20 years and they were, you know, 15 years into it before it finally kind of like hit. And then all of a sudden it took off. And so it's amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming, for all of your amazing advice. It's always amazing to meet great entrepreneurs and hear their stories. Any call to action, anything people can do to support what you guys are doing?
Oh, absolutely. If you've got a dog, you got to try Jiminy's. You can go on online or go to your local pet store and ask for it. But if you want to go to our website and learn more, it's www.jiminys.com.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and stick around for a second. I want to talk to you about a present we have for you.
Okay. Sounds great.